We used to have a saying that an honest confession is good for the soul. Believe it or not, I have been lately admonishing my brethren to be at the prayer meeting in good time and try and see to it that more of us get out and take part in the prayer meeting. And so I made sure that I was going to be maybe the first one or second one down here tonight at the prayer meeting. And lo and behold, when I went to get down the steps, I had a Webster's Dictionary, the one that I carried to high school when I was 16. And I just had to eat the humble pie and turn around and beat it up the hill and back to get a hold of my Bible. So you have to be careful when you admonish your brethren. Sometimes you need it maybe a little more yourself and make sure of what you're doing. So, and another thing I'd like to straighten out, as someone said, you mentioned three beginnings this morning, but you only developed the one, and that was the one in 1 John chapter 1, where the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And you didn't develop the other two, so just quickly I'll try to mention the other two. The first one in your Bible is in Genesis 1:1, where you read that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning. And that beginning, if you would like to go back 6,000 years, that's just fine. Or if you want to put some space in between verses 1 and 2, because darkness was over the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So if you would like to put some years more onto that 6,000, I don't think we could complain too much about that. But that is the beginning of creation. But then when we come to John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 1, we read those wonderful words that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And there was nothing made without Him that was made. He was the Creator. And we also read of Him there being, in Him was life and the life was the light of men. He had life from the beginning. Other life is imparted life. And it's a blessed thing for us to see these three beginnings and get them possibly in their proper perspectives so that we don't get fooled by some who may be a little more intelligent maybe in the scientific world, for instance, than what we are. I don't believe there's any mistakes in the Bible as to its originality, and we can depend upon every word of it. So this morning, if you remember, we tried to bring out the reality of the manhood of Christ. And we saw there very clearly how not only John, but the apostles, they heard him, they saw him, they looked upon him, and their hands handled the word of life. And they declared him unto us. And they wrote in order that we may have fellowship not only with the apostles, but with God the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we tried to expand as much as we could on that truth that the Christian fellowship has to do with the apostles. And with God the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So it's always good to go back to that which is from the beginning. And in the portion that I will read tonight, I think we'll have that word beginning mentioned again. And so for tonight, I would like to have as my subject the family of God. And I would like to read in the second chapter of 1 John, please. 1 John chapter 2. Beginning at verse First John chapter 2 and beginning at verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that this or that is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is an Antichrist. Then that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. And these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. Ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Now, tonight I would like to speak of the family of God and the degrees of spiritual growth that is in the family of God. I believe that all the blessings that the work of Christ has wrought is for all Christians. But I do believe this, that there are degrees of growth in these things. And I know that we don't like to possibly get on this kind of a subject. I appreciated greatly our hymns tonight. It'll all be glory by and by. And dear old Brother McIntyre, who's in the glory now, he used to say, I've got eternal life. And he used to say, so many of us say, so long, Lord, I'll see you in glory. Now, that isn't very good, is it? But there is that danger, you know. And I have often said that many may have so much eternal security, and God forbid that I speak unkind in any way of eternal security, but there is the danger of some having so much eternal security that they really don't have any salvation, or not very much of it, I'll put it that way. Dear old brother used to smile as he would come down the aisle at my work,
And he would often say, I believe that a lot of people just have enough of salvation, or he would put it sometimes, religion, to make them miserable. And how sad that is, if that could be true. And so you'll find that John, time and again, puts you through tests to actually see whether you have the real thing or not. But when it comes to the family of God, the family of God are the recipients and should enter into all the blessings that Christ has wrought by his work, his finished work on the cross of Calvary. But you will notice here that in the family of God, there are fathers and there are young men and there are little children. And it's a most remarkable thing. Well, again, I tell you, I am not a Greek student, but I have a Young's and I have a Strong's, and I have one or two other concordances there at my desk, and also a dictionary by Daniel Webster. And you will find in verse 12 that word there, little children. Mr. Ironsides, for instance, he puts dear children there. You say, oh, he oughtn't to change the Bible. Well, he isn't changing the Bible. He's just giving you the meaning and force of the word as you find it in your Strong's or your Young's dictionary. And that word there, little children, the word there is tikon, or it has to do with Christian converts. And he's writing unto you, Christian converts. And that takes in the whole family of God. You have the same word down in verse 28. And now, you see where it says little children? That's tikon, and it means the same thing. It means Christian converts. And he's saying, you Christian converts, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And I think you will find, as you look at verses 28 and 9, it doesn't have to do so much with our standing as our state or our attitude towards Christian growth. So, now we want to try to look and what John has to say, and I believe the rest of the apostles will back him up through thick and thin about the fathers and about the young men and about the little children. This word that you get down here in connection with the little children in verse 13, there you will see that it's a different word, and it's P-A-I-D-I-O-N, and it has to do with a normal child that should be growing. And I often say this, in the family of God, if you and I don't see growth in ourselves and in others, we ought to be greatly alarmed. I have known dear mothers and fathers too in the assembly here that have had little children, dear little children, and they were much concerned about them, saying even the first word, Papa or Mama. It's some of them, it took a little while longer than maybe the first ones that were brought into the family. Or maybe their neighbor's children were a little bit further on and faster in it. And it causes concern, doesn't it? And we certainly like to see children going into the adolescent period and then growing up to be men and women. And it's the same thing, I think, in the family of God. We ought to be concerned about Christian growth. I'm sure it will all be glory by and by for every Christian. But we are to be occupied till he comes, until that takes place. And it's a blessed thing to have strength for today and hope for tomorrow. Blessed thing. So I think we ought to look a little a bit then about these three. Now, in verse 13, we see the fathers. And what does he have to say about the fathers? I write unto you. Isn't it a wonderful thing to think that the apostle would sit down and write to you? And I take this, it's to me, don't you? I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. Well, we certainly saw in chapter 1 who it was from the beginning, and he's the Word of Life, and they knew him that was from the beginning. And I suppose not only from the days of his public ministry, but they at least heard about him, no doubt, when the angels made those great exclamations in connection with his birth, as they were visited him in the days of his beginning here. But this is the beginning that he's talking about. You have known him from the beginning. Then he says, I write unto you young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. And then in verse 13, I write unto you little children, because you have known the Father. Well, you say, that ought to be enough. Why write any more about this? Well, verse 14, I have written. Oftentimes we have to be reminded, don't we? I imagine that I have read possibly even this chapter, and I don't brag about it, but maybe hundreds of times. And yet every time I read it, I think I have to go over it again in order to gather up some of the truths that was written to me. And I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. Twice over, he says to the fathers, I write unto you because you have known him that is from the beginning. And I love this as I muse and meditate upon it. They saw so much in him. The little children, he writes to them because they knew the Father. But to the fathers, they knew him that was from the beginning. They knew him. And oh, what a blessed thing it is to know the Lord. And to actually realize that salvation is not even in a system. It's in a person. And to know him that is from the beginning, and then to know some of the treasures and wisdom and knowledge of God that is in him. Do you think we will ever get to know him fully? The Apostle John, or Apostle Paul would say, you'll have many instructors in Christ, but not many fathers. Then he went on to say what a father he was to the Thessalonians, especially how that he nurtured and cared, worked with his own hands and for a livelihood, and sought to lead them on and to raise them up into manhood and womanhood spiritually. So the fathers have known him that is from the beginning. And of course, I like to bring out again what we learned in conference this summer. We spent a whole week almost on the person of Christ. Song of Songs, chapter 5. And my, you remember how we went down those verses time and time again, and I wish that we could get down next week, down over them again. Oh, when I think of what Solomon had to say there and what the bride had to say in connection with the head. Oh, when you think of his head is as most fine gold, and his locks are black and bushy, no decay in him. And then to think, as you go over into the New Testament and read how those at Colossae, they were not to go in for just religious practices, but they were to hold the head. Hold the head. Don't just go in for religious holidays, but hold the head. Don't go in for worshiping angels. Hold the head. And then you read there that all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in our head. And when I think of my head and how forgetful and sometimes how useless it is, I'm so glad I can say with the poet, I have another head, another heart and breast. And oh, what a blessing it is just to have his word flowing in me and through me. It's no wonder the Lord Jesus, in the days of his flesh, meditated and mused and lived by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And when you read Psalm 45, when the psalmist mused, the fire burned, then he could speak with his tongue. His pen would become the pen of a ready writer. Tell me, wouldn't you like to be a father? There doesn't even seem to be any warnings here given to the fathers. I suppose it's due to the fact that they're so taken up with the fullness that's in Christ that they don't have any room for failure. Not that I'm saying they can't fail, God forbid. And not am I saying that they don't fail. But there's no warnings here given to the fathers due to the fact of the fullness that they see in him. How much do you and I see in our risen and glorified head, our risen and glorified Christ? How much do we see in him? How much satisfaction did I get today out of him? And I think it's good to ask ourselves these questions. If we are going to grow, we must ask these questions. Ask ourselves. Maybe it's not just best to say to your dear Christian brethren, are you growing today? That wouldn't hurt, would it? Are you developing any today? What's new today? And I'm sure that we can get fresh manna daily. And we don't need to hang on to that which stinks. I believe that there's such a danger of us getting these things mentally and knowing. And it's possible that you know these things mentally, you know the truth. I was over in the Holy Land and we had a man that they called the Walking Bible. I was just looking at my notes up there the other day, and I remembered him well. I walked alongside of him quite a bit, and I couldn't say a verse in the Old Testament or New Testament and stop in the middle that he couldn't finish the verse. I marvel at a mind like that. And yet there were some, and the Lord knows, some thought that he wasn't possibly saved. Salvation is in a person. And it's a blessed thing, isn't it, to know the person. And the more I know the person, the more humble I will get. Now, in knowing the truth, in a physical, mental way, there's the possibility that the more of it I know, the prouder I'll get. And I might say, it's just a shame that all you brethren don't know as much as I do. Huh? That is, if it's just a matter of mental expression. But, oh, when you know him that is from the beginning, it's a matter of the heart and mind and soul. Oh, what a blessing it is to know him that is from the beginning. Well, maybe we will stop there with the fathers. And I tell you, I say I'm so glad it doesn't call the fathers here old men or old man. I've got that a number of times, places I would go. How are you, old man? And I've heard rebukes given down at Park of the Palms, where some of my dear sisters are from. If you call anybody old, they say you can say an older person, but do not you say an old person, or we're getting old. Because, you see, we older folks we drank from the fountain of youth. You know what I mean? And in many respects, we're getting younger every day. And this is a tremendous blessing when you get to realize this, that there's a fountain even built up in you that's overflowing, and it's overflowing with that which is eternal. Oh, what a blessing it is to drink of the fountain of youth. We got one down in Florida I drank of, by the way, but I couldn't tell any difference when I drank of that one in Florida. But I can tell you this, if you drink of this well, it will be a well in you. And it will be swelling up with eternal life. And what a blessing to our souls. Well, now let's look at these young men. I love to read of the young men. I write unto you, not only to the fathers, but I want to write to you young men. And all of you young men that are here tonight, I believe I see mostly fathers, not all together, but I write unto you young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. Oh, isn't that wonderful to see a young person overcoming the wicked one? And then if you go down in verse 14, he says, I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. You young men, have you been studying the Word of God day by day? Do you count it more of a necessity than your necessary food? We have those in the Bible who have. And is it the first thing that you do in the morning? Could it be said of you, he wakeneth me morning by morning, and he giveth me the tongue of the learned? I believe that that's possible. It was so true of the Lord Jesus, but I believe that it's true, just can be as true for you and I, and that we might overflow, young men, with the Word of God. And how are you going to resist the devil to make him flee from you? The Bible says, resist him. Don't kick up your heels and run from him. Resist him, and he'll flee from you. And how are you going to do it? By the Word of God. Someone has said that Satan with the Lord Jesus, when he took him out and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, that he just unreeled a picture show before him and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And all he had to do was to bow down and worship him. And he could have all the kingdoms. But the Lord Jesus, he could come back very clearly at him with the Word of God. Oh, how blessed it is to have the Word of God in season and out of season, and be able to quote it when Satan casts his fiery darts at you. And these young men are strong. The Word of God is abiding in them. They are out in the midst of this world, many of them, and they're facing the world, the flesh, and the devil. And they need the whole armor of God. And what a blessing it is to see young men like this. Oh, when I see the potentialities of young men in our assemblies today, I cry out to God, Lord, move them. Move in their hearts. Convince them and convict them of the possibilities that are before them. They're strong. The Word of God abiding in them. Oh, what a potentiality for every young believer, and to overcome the wicked one. But you will find here that the young men are showed that there's some dangers in their way. To the fathers, it didn't seem as though the dangers were mentioned to them. But oh, to the young men, here's what he says in verse 15. You young men, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Young men, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And I have seen this in my experience. I have seen what I truly thought young men overcoming the world, even the flesh and the devil, going on in a good path, a victorious path, I'll put it that way, and living above and beyond the things of this present evil world. And then maybe after a victory, something they've really accomplished, a little relaxation takes place, and Satan can tempt them with the very thing that they overcame. And oh, how sad it is to see a young man going back, or headed back into that which he had overcome. That's the warning, I believe, that is here for them. You can't help but think of that man, Samson. Why, with the jawbone of an ass, he was that strong that he slew 1,000 Philistines. And oh, what a glorious victory it was. But what happened after he relaxed a little from his victory? Delilah tempted him and got him into such a strait that he went out of this world blind. Oh, I know there was a victory at the end, but I don't want to go blind, do you? I don't want to lose my strength. Do you, young men? Love not the world or the things of the world. Oh, it may not be this kind of a temptation that Samson had. It can be in so many different avenues. I often sing and I quote the little chorus that my dear brethren taught me out here along the mountainside when they wore their corduroy pants and their boots and cut wood for a living. They used to sing, if life was a thing that money could buy, the rich man would have it and the poor he could die. God in his mercy has ordered it so that the rich and the poor together must go. What shall it profit? I can hear them saying this. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Then some turn it around and say, what will it profit if a man lose the whole world? Now, what would it profit if you'd lose the whole world? Nothing. Because all that is in the world is but the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life. So if you had the whole world and you gained it, pulled it down the hill with a downhill pull and put it in your hip pocket, you gained the whole thing. What did you gain? Nothing. Goose egg. Nothing. It passeth away. But oh, what blessing. That word of God that you've been strong in. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This is the word of God which John wrote to us. And he wants you and I to take it in. Young men, let's take it in. But now, I want to talk a little bit about the little children. And the little children, they know the Father. And isn't it a blessed thing when you have passed from darkness into light? And when you have been conscious that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth you from all sin. And you're just one of the little children in the family of God. It's a blessed thing to hear the Spirit moving in your heart and to be conscious of it moving in your heart, crying out, Abba, Father. I remember one dear brother used to preach here so often, and I can hear him saying it yet when he would address God. He would say, my own dear Father. It was a blessed thing. And it's a remarkable thing, too, that the Lord Jesus actually could only know God as his Father while he was here amongst men. And it took, what did it take? It took that awful death and that glorious resurrection in order for the message to go forth to you and I. Go to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. And so the Spirit of God has come to move in our hearts that we might cry, Abba, Father. And the little children know God as their Father. But there's an awful lot of warning for the little children. If you don't know him that is from the beginning, if the word of God isn't, if you aren't strong and the word of God is abiding in you, little children, even though you call God your Father, thank God for that, and you'll never perish, but oh, you've got a lot of warning. Nearly all of these verses down here from verse 18 has to do with the little children. And the first thing is that you have heard that an Antichrist shall come. And most all of us, little children, even though you haven't been saved long or you haven't been growing too much, you have heard that the Antichrist is going to come. And he will deceive, if it were possible, the very elect when he comes. But John says, little children, I want you to see this. There are many antichrists. Now, verse 18, and we know that it is the last time. Oh, are we conscious, all of us, are we conscious of this, that we're living in the last time? The antichrist shall come. And even now, there are many antichrists. But oh, verse 19, here's how they develop, these antichrists. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And this, I believe, as our dear brethren emphasized to us during our last conference, the Antichrists are those who have tasted of the good word of God. They've tasted it. They have come right up to the very verge of salvation. Mentally, they knew. And then they turned their back on it. And maybe just slowly backed up from the body of truth. Christian message that John wrote. Backed away from it. And so, the Spirit of God knows who they are. John knew who they were. And he says, if they were of us, they would have continued with us. And little children, your sins are forgiven you for his namesake. And these antichrists are not of you. They have turned from us. But oh, how much this kind of ministry is propagated today, denying the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And many have turned their back upon the truth of God as they once heard it. And they are intellectually miracles in what they have to preach and say. And there is the danger of us being enticed by them. And if you deny that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, you're an antichrist. And many have denied that. I've heard them down along the beach time and again. And with all their brilliancy, they can actually think they're telling you how creation began, and there's no such a thing as the Bible in the sense of it being true. It's just a book written by many different men, and there's all kinds of flaws and mistakes in it. My, I hear that time and again. But, oh, the little children, you have the Word of God, you have the truth, and the truth abides in you. What a blessing it is to always fall back on the truth and to hear Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You've come to the Father by me, little children. And you call me your own dear father. So, in closing, I believe verses 28 and 29 possibly doesn't have to do with our standing, but it's encouraging us as to our state, our condition, and what we are to do. Now, if you would like to do something, here's something to do. And now, the dear children, you've been born again. Abide in Him. Abide in Him. That when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. And oh, what a blessing it is to be conscious of the fact that you're one who is abiding in Christ. We often say that you're in Christ and Christ is in you. And what a blessing it is to know that He's in me, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it'll all be glory by and by. And won't it be a blessed thing to rejoice when He comes? He's going to shout, And we know the trumpet of God shall sound and the voice of the archangel. And I don't know how long a time it's going to take. Some people say a moment of time, but it doesn't say that. Because I would think till he gets all of that done, and then the dead in Christ rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. I do know this, that the change will be taking place in a moment of time. I'll be changed from Charlie Martin into a son of God in a moment of time. But as to the coming, I don't know just how long it will take, but I do know this, that he that is coming will come and will not tarry. And what a blessing it is to have strength for today and hope for tomorrow and to look forward and never lay aside the blessed truth that he's coming again. This very same joint heirs with the Lord Jesus as we travel this thought. We're so glad we belong to the family of God. Oh, help us, our God, and to exercise these hearts of ours by thy Spirit, that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that we might be able to set forth his virtues in our lives wherever we go. We pray these things. Thank thee for one another and for the work that thou hast wrought here in the assembly and on the hill and for this great big retreat of our dear sisters, and to hear that they were really encouraged and helped and strengthened in the ministry that they've received and the fellowship that they've had. May they have the full journey mercies on their homeward bound, and may each one of the assemblies that they are connected with find refreshment and blessing from the time they spent here on the hill. God bless thy people and help us to tell of thy goodness wherever we go, as we pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.